All right, welcome to the Black Multiverse Theory Podcast.
Episode 3. This is a podcast about global, local, and popular culture from the perspective of Afro-Canadians who live different versions of themselves to navigate everyday life. And I am your co-host, Nilo, and I'm here with Mr. Nigel Williams.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So, how was your week?
My week was actually really great. We had yoga at the shop last week. So, aphrodisiac, if you don't know, you can actually sign up for yoga classes now at aphrodisiacnaturals.com. And it was really empowering and really great. So, the week started out really great. That was Sunday morning. So, we do yoga every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. from 10 to 11. It's called Sun Salutation Yoga. And we just pretty much lay out in the sun in this room. And it's a really gently guided practice. But somehow, super sore. I've also started fasting for Ramadan. That started yesterday. So I am fasting in solidarity. I'm not fasting to lose weight or any of those things. CNN actually has a great article out right now, which is the just like top 10 etiquette things for if your friends are participating or fasting for Ramadan right now. So I definitely read that. And that's going to be up on the Black Multiverse page. And the first day was really, really challenging. The second day was a lot easier. I'm not even going to lie. So I feel good going forward. And I do have a lot more energy. And the weirdest thing is at the end of the fasting period, I was like suddenly perfectly fine, like not starving to death anymore. So I realized that it's mental. And then I was able to like humble myself because sometimes I'm like, okay, you have to wait till 9:15, but people have to wait till like forever because they're literally starving to death. So I had to refocus and recenter my pain. But that was it. Some BS with ATB, but I don't know if I should talk about that now or after.
Hold on, hold on. Are you, before we get to ATB, are you posting anything online?
Yeah, on the Black Multiverse Theory podcast, I'm going to put up that CNN article about your just etiquette for Ramadan.
Okay, cool.
How you support your friends.
Last month, I did a challenge. So I did a vegetarian challenge last month. It was enlightening and hard and difficult. Mm-hmm. So I did some posts on my Facebook.
But you got to try so many new things.
And that was the greatest part about it. I got to try a lot of East Indian and Asian foods that kind of had lots of meat supplements. And
yeah, they're vegetarian-based kind of culturally.
Yeah, so I got to taste fake chicken. Yeah, that was fantastic. I love fake chicken. So,
is not an accurate account.
No, I don't. I do. I can't take it. Bean curds. It just didn't
That's
have
not the, an accurate account.
It didn't have the density that chicken has.
The bounce back.
When you chew on it.
You need a little springboard.
You need a little bite back for that. But, you know, looking at it, before we get any further, from my week, my children, I have two boys, two girls, twin identical girls. You can probably see them all over my Facebook and on Instagram. And
Instagram's popping now. I gotta change the camera so I can see you.
Okay, cool.
Go ahead. We're still recording.
So, Instagram, my children, my two boys, my sons, they have started soccer. So it has started out very good. The season's very good. My youngest son, he plays goal. My older son, he's a forward and a striker. All right. So with my children both being in soccer as well, with my children both being in soccer, I'm actually the soccer coach.
Right.
So I set them up for the win. Mm-hmm. Not really. I just organize them, teach them how to play soccer, and teach them how to have fun and work as a team, which they're going to need these life skills for work, when they, if and when they work for a company, or if they own the company, how to go and schedule and set up their teams.
Okay, so as a coach, I have to ask you, what is your, like, favorite motivational phrase?
My like, favorite?
What is your Remember the Titans, Denzel Washington?
You want to know my favorite?
Yeah.
My favorite I tell all teams and every player on the team is, what is the first rule of soccer?
Have fun.
Every child says that. I'm like, no, it's listen to coach and you'll have the most fun you've ever had in the world. If you just listen to coach, we'll be good.
Okay, so you teach obedience on the soccer field.
I do. So that's that. But speaking of obedience, I feel like that the man sometimes has us down when we want to do some stuff. Tell me what happened this week with our partners at the Alberta Treasury Branch
Bank. ATB's been breaking my heart since I've been with them, honestly. I chose ATB because they, when I first got here, like, especially their marketing, they were, like, definitely targeted towards small businesses. So I just assumed in starting a small business that I would be able to partner with this bank who's, like, seems to be reaching out to me. So, yeah, they've just consistently failed me up until recently. So what happened recently was I applied for a MasterCard for the business in order to really build credit for the business. And I was approved. So I was approved for $1,000.
Yep.
And they called me and they said, you're approved for $1,000. But you could get $5,000. Right? And you said, take the money and run.
I did.
Take the $1,000.
I'm like, take the $1,000.
What are you doing? But the girl, like, assured me that I wouldn't lose the $1,000 in order to try for this $5,000. So then today, I get this call, and they're like, oh, yeah, instead of your credit score being 6, instead of, like, us needing a 620 for this, it's 650 now. So the $1,000 that you qualify for, you don't qualify for it anymore. So they underwrote me out of a credit opportunity, literally, to help, like, build up my business. So the challenging thing is the business is definitely over 2 years at this point. Like, we have been struggling to find a bank that we can partner with who can, like, see the future of where what we're trying to do and where we're trying to go. So I was really upset and really angry today.
So not even gonna lie. So all of the people who are hearing this podcast and watching us on Instagram, and watching us on Facebook.
All eight of you.
And all all the four on my side.
Four, too. Two. I might have another.
If you got links to the bank and you know.
If you are a banker, if you work in banking, if you work with small businesses and you feel like.
We are having trouble.
You can help us.
As a people, we are having trouble moving on to the next level. Her credit score. Yeah. Her credit score is fine. She has one kind of thing on her credit, one thing from years ago that has that is causing this, I can't get $1,000 thing.
It's or so crazy.
Or they're making that excuse.
Right.
And we want somebody who has that financial know-how. I know you may not be able to just give out stuff, but at least you could tell the truth and be like, wait a second. This is
what's happening.
This is what's happening.
Right, because at the end of the day, I feel like it's down to one person who, yeah, doesn't understand what we're doing or, I don't know, like has their own personal beliefs bringing it to their job. Just the thing that we talked about, like literally the first episode, was being a facilitator and being a gatekeeper. And I feel like ATB has been consistently gatekeeping me out of resources. We have this question ready for it.
All right, this question is from one of our listeners. Javard, he is asking this question: as a visible minority, how may we continue to influence and motivate each other as leaders, business professionals, and supporters who seek funding for advancement for various inner city events and programs that could potentially create and impactful change? Must we create an impactful pitch or business plan? Should we group finances together or host major impactful inner city events, each as galas that are
like fundraisers
that our mayor or other premiers should attend? Is there perhaps a more efficient way to get prime funding or various Black-owned financial companies that have the ability to assist and fund impactful events and podcasts like the Black Multiverse Theory podcast? So I apologize for my dodgy reading. I don't have my glasses on, but it's far away.
It's far for you.
But yes, to answer that question, definitely we should definitely support our businesses. The ways we support it are all the ways that you just asked in each of those questions. You almost know the answer already, Javard, because we need to have capital events that support each other. We need to have the ability to donate to one another's thing and keep that dollar cycling.
Keep the dollar cycling. So my approach to all of this is to utilize Black businesses. Oftentimes we have a lot of reasons why we don't want to. We have a lot of Black people have a Black people don't type of a narrative. Where they're like, Black people don't do this or Black people don't do that. So it's important to know that when you're looking for a service provider, any service provider, you are likely going to have to go through a few different service providers before you find one that fits you. Whether that's your accountant, whether that is a lawyer, like it doesn't actually really matter. If it's your plumber or your electrician, you're probably going to have to go through a couple professionals before you're going to find someone who's going to actively be on your team and like work well with you. So with that said, you can actually keep that same economic empowerment initiative when it comes to utilizing Black businesses. So if you go to one plumber or one printer or one graphic designer that doesn't work for you and they're Black, it's not like, that's not the cue to like, okay, I'm just going to go to the regular, quote unquote regular, which is the white owned business.
Status quo.
That's what they say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, so I think that be patient with the people who are in business and in industry. Understand that in some ways, when it comes to business, we don't have the same resources. We don't have the same crowd resources as our counterparts, whether they be Asian, East Asian, South Asian counterparts. A lot of people compare Black communities to what they're able to do in those communities who didn't have the opportunity to be enslaved for hundreds of years, right? So I think it's important for us to understand that any $1 that you spend goes even further in the Black community. And if you're a Black business, you can be the second person in the link and move it on to a third person and look for vendors that service your business who are Black vendors. It might take switching two or three times before you find an accountant or a bookkeeper or somebody that's good for you. But if you kind of maintain the idea of pouring resources in the community, even volunteering for Black businesses, because the challenge for us is this $15 an hour wage increase as well. So that's everything you said, but definitely just put your dollar as much as you can. I feel like the Met Gala is going to take a whole two segments because that shit, it was something.
This portion of the Black Multiverse Theory podcast is called The Scroll.
The Scroll.
This is the scroll on your social media when you are scrolling through.
What you're seeing first thing in the morning when you sit on the toilet.
When you're in your bed.
Yeah.
When you're on the way to work and you shouldn't be scrolling and you're scrolling.
Don't text and drive, you guys. It's very dangerous.
Don't do it. It's not nice. It's not cool. A lot of people die. So the scroll, this morning was blowing up with the Met Gala. The Met Gala the thing. And the Met Gala theme this year was camp. Notes on fashion. So because it was camp, people dressed up. Now, when you think of camp,
not the camp you're thinking of.
the stuff that they're wearing is not the camp.
But do you know what camp is, Nigel?
Camp is a sensibility sketch out by Susan Sontag in her 1964 essay that pertains mostly to the decorative arts. Like, for example, fashion.
So you don't know what camp is. That's what you're telling me. So what that, okay, that is the denotation, the dictionary definition of camp. But what camp is pretty much how I would be every day if I didn't have to bridle myself with everyone's expectations. So it's like the most fabulous, over-the-top, fashionable, most, they say the most yourself you can be, but it's always extroverts and celebrities saying this, right? So it's like, and it was popularized actually by drag queens, particularly black drag queens in like the 60s and 70s. So that is, and has come to really be how high fashion is influenced. So the idea of camp, like, you know, the word campy, it's like a play on that word, or kitschy. Kitschy is gauche or unfashionable accidentally, but camp is being gauche and unfashionable fashionably. So it's like owning the gaudy, like, I can't think of who's campy, I guess. Like, RuPaul can be camp, over the top, right? So it's avant-garde fashion. It's
Lady Gaga. She's
camp. But the thing is that Lady Gaga is obviously influenced by Grace Jones.
Sure.
Right. So right. So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about camp. Now, I myself was like, camp, and had to do a whole bunch of research. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that's what I came out of it. Because if I could walk around with like carnival wear on a regular basis, I would. Like, very would. So I feel like in my soul, I can understand this.
So going into the Met Gala, you mentioned Billy Porter. Billy Porter's doing the most.
Coming through every time.
Right. As a golden
goddess.
Goddess.
Yes.
That's what it was?
Yeah. That tattoo on between Rihanna's breasts on her rib cage. Okay. Same guy. Same girl. Same lady.
Okay. So, Billy's dressed up with wings.
Yeah.
Gold wings. Looks like a tiara.
And the internet has already started memeing this. So there's a meme with Billy Porter on his pedestal with these gold people around him, carrying him through the crowd. And it says, when you write, as per my last email.
See, so you got stuff like that. You have lots of people. I saw, what's her face?
Zendaya?
Zendaya. She dressed up pretty much like Cinderella.
Yeah, they had lights. Glow sticks like in her lights dress.
All through her dress.
LEDs. I was like, why hasn't anybody done this already? That's fly.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was crazy. So she basically was glowing in the dark. Then Janelle Monáe.
I don't know if it was all camp, though.
Hers?
No, all of them. Like, some of them were just like, they felt kitschy, not camp. You know what I mean?
I get you.
Like, it felt like people were like trying too hard at some of them. I'm like, okay, girl. We were talking about Billy Porter doing that.
We were talking about that, but we moved into Janelle Monáe.
Oh, bae.
She had a hat on a hat.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
A hat on a hat.
Mm-hmm, that's what it says.
That, you didn't see that.
That's what it's defined. So she has a hat on her head, a top hat. Then she has a hat on the side, on top of the hat.
You didn't see
that. And then she has a hat.
Oh, I didn't see that one. Didn't see the avant-garde thing that she's wearing with the eyeball covering?
She's also wearing that as well.
How did I miss the hats? I totally missed those hats. I was like, yep, nothing to see up here. What's up with that eyeball?
A hat on a hat on a hat.
Yeah. It's something.
Cardi B had a huge
red
carpet.
And there's a meme with that one that says, "This is me when I sneeze and I'm on my period."
I think that's
funny. It's funny. You're like, ew, ew. Ew. We're going to talk about Miss Teen USA now.
Yes. I forgot to talk about Jared Leto, and he had
his own head in his hat.
In his hat.
My Muslim friend was like, "This is the total mood on day two of Ramadan." I'm like, "I'm feeling you, girl." I felt like Jared Leto.
It's rough.
Yeah.
Going on, we have Miss Teen USA. Miss Teen USA has come onto the scroll for a couple of reasons.
Yeah.
One of the reasons is that
she blackfished us.
She is a black person. They are claiming that she is a black person.
Is she mixed?
Apparently she is.
Okay.
But she is also Miss USA and Miss Universe are all
black people.
So mm-hmm. she fit under the trifecta of the pageant.
The Negresses.
Yes, the pageant.
Right.
Echelons.
Right.
The hierarchy.
And we want to take a moment to know the pageantry originally comes from slavery. But go ahead.
Explain that. We can't quite move forward yet.
You keep
yet.
Talking and then I will explain.
We can't move forward yet until you explain how the pageantry that we look at, Miss Universe, Miss USA, Miss Teen USA, how it comes from slavery. Can you break that down for us? Is there a way that you can relate it back?
It's not related. That's like where that's where pageantry started. Like, putting these slaves on stage and then judging them and seeing who's gonna buy who and just like show dogs and show horses and all that stuff.
So you feel like that never happened before slavery? Slavery started it.
I feel like pageantry as we know it today is leftover from slavery. I'm gonna say that. Yes.
Okay. All right. You heard it here first.
At me if I'm wrong.
You heard it here first.
And link me to the source.
So our Miss Teen USA, we have her name here. I looked it up quite a few times.
It's on the Black Multiverse page too.
And
Kylie or Carissy.
I think it's
starts with a K.
I think it's Kylie.
I think it's Kylie.
So she is a mixed race. Mm-hmm. Last year, she was very, as we say in the South, high color or high yellow.
Last week, you said?
Yeah. Last week, she was like high yellow. This week, she is darker. And she used to have her hair straightened. She went to a predominantly
white school.
And so because of that,
she looked like she was white passing.
She looked like she was white. Full lips, you know, everything, and very high color. She wins because her hair is done in a single
strand
loop-de-loop coil. Yeah. And
she's quite dark in
And she's quite dark in her pictures. She's dark, like
versus her Instagram, honestly. USA, you think she blackened up for the pageant?
I definitely think she blackened up for the pageant. I think even from the scroll and some of the stuff that you sent, there was a time delay.
Yeah, so when I went back and did the research, aka stalked her Instagram.
that was the research.
It was research. That's why I'm like, what are you doing? Just research for the show. So when I went back and stalked her Instagram, what it looks like is that she, like, pretty much in her senior year or right when she's graduating high school, that summer, she seems like she goes natural because in the beginning part of the summer, her hair is straight. And then I think like March or something. And then by August, she has curly hair. Mm. But her curly hair is that mixy but still fuzzy curly hair, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the coils that she has make sense towards the curly hair. And I feel like those girls all tan. Don't they all tan?
I think for the most part,
they do a spray tan.
They try and do a golden bronze, you know.
But she definitely Ariana Grande did up. Like she went a few distinct colors darker.
Most of the time, these girls are like a Dorito chip yellow or orange. They're like a Donald Trump.
She had that base tone, though.
They got that Donald Trump orange happening.
She had that base already.
She looked like she primed it first.
The prime, she probably laid in the sun.
Put a primer.
Yeah, she definitely primed that.
Dark. Tadia says she's dark like us. Like.
Like who?
Like me.
She dark like you, Tadia.
She's not like us.
She goes from Tadia to Nigel.
She's like
in 4 months.
But Tadia's lighter than me.
Quite lighter. She's lighter than me.
So this girl.
You think she embraced her black side, or do you think she commodified her blackness?
I think she put this in because this is part of her, of who she is. And I think she saw the previous winners who won and was like, okay, I'm going to win.
You think she rode the wave?
I think she rode the wave and came out on top. She hit that jackpot. Ching, ching, ching.
Yeah.
She did it.
Maybe. You know what the other part is? All that I have seen is pictures of her. I haven't seen her talking. I don't know what her points were. I don't know if she woke now. Because there was a whole awakening. And a lot, like, as a person who went to a predominantly white school, I know what it's like to come out of that and feel like you have to decolonize yourself. Because all of these things that you went through at school, you internalize a lot of it.
I'm going to tell you right now. This girl would never have won if she was woke, all the way woke. Come and talk about she part of the emo temps and she trying to get an egg tattoo on her arm or her leg or whatever. She had to be
emo temps.
She can't win this competition talking
being
like that.
Badu woke.
Yeah.
No, she's probably not full Badu.
She's not full Badu at all. She's like Badu super light diet.
Who is that? Who's diet like Badu?
There's no diet like Badu. That's it. That's it. Like, we the people's, ma'am. Like, so I'm just saying that I think she won because qualities.
And you think it was calculated.
And I think it was calculated because the funny thing about this world is our world, our universe, this earth that we are living on, the countries all around the world, they love our culture. They love black culture.
They hate black people.
But they don't like black people. And she's a perfect representation
of
our culture. She has the look down. She has a beautiful smile.
Well, she has the acceptable black features,
yes.
Right? Because people love black features when they're like Europeanized.
Mm.
Yeah. She has full lips, but like a little small straight nose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She has that. You're not going to see...
Even in the natural hair community, there's like colorism. I don't know how to call it, curlism, amongst the good curls and the bad curls in the natural hair community. People all the time with tight, coily curls will come to me and be like, can you make this like this? I'm like, this is not your hair, ma'am. This is not your hair. So let's get used to what's on your head first. You said that you saw Caster Semenya, who is the South African runner. So I'm just going to run you down on Caster Semenya. She is a South African runner who was born a woman. It identifies as a woman, goes by the pronoun she, runs in women's races, but there's a white woman who keeps losing to her, but way far behind. Like, she loses to her and eight other people. So that lady complained to the IAAF, who tested Caster Semenya, and when they tested her, they saw that her testosterone levels were high. But her testosterone levels are naturally high, right? So she had recently appealed and lost the appeal, but the judgment was that in order for her to run in women's races, to even out the playing field, she has to take drugs in order to lower the naturally occurring testosterone in her system, which is nuts. So this gets tied in with trans rights because it has to do with, like, what levels of estrogen and what levels of testosterone are you considered a man or a woman? I think she's what they call on the intersex spectrum. So, but I guess it's the idea that even biologically, gender, not or even sex really, biologically isn't like so binary. It's not so black and white and so straightforward. So just it's nationalism and racism and sexism all boiled into one.
Yeah, according to what I'm reading here, she was born with XY chromosomes. So she has three sisters, she has a brother. So when you hear her talk...
is she born with XY or is she like XYX?
It says XY.
Oh, okay.
It does say XY. But she runs as races... and she identifies as a woman, and she just has really high testosterone levels. So it tends to make her seem masculine when she's running. Some people, when they look at her, they think she's a man. But she's a woman, and she identifies as a woman, and that's who she is. So in the end, what happens is she blows away a lot of people in races because she's super fast. She just is. She beats quite a few racers. It's amazing to watch her run. And she won the gold medal in the 2012 Summer Olympics. And even the 2016 Summer Olympics, she's won gold medals in the 800 meter events. She's just really quick. So with her, it's a hard call without a lot of testing. And she's gone through tons of testing. They've done even so much as ban her from certain races, especially in Italy and different places. So, and then had to retract those and let her race in the end. So she's gone through a lot of adversity, but even in her interview, she says she does it for all the little girls that want to race and that look up to her. So she keeps racing as an example to them to never give up, and even though facing adversity.
Yeah, I guess I didn't know that... that you could have XY chromosomes and be considered... that falls on this hyperandrogenism is on the intersex spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she has XY chromosomes, but she has female parts.
Yes.
Ah, I see.
So that's what puts her on the spectrum.
Intersex, yeah, right. That's how
she's not one of the ones that chose whatever. She just has the parts.
She has these parts, but the chromosomes, I guess.
Yeah.
Yo, that's crazy.
It's crazy how...
Also, the science is, like, bad science that they base all of this stuff on, too. Like, that's what they're coming down to it. Like, the actual people who are in the science is like, we don't really accept that one study that they use to make that decision.
Yeah.
So, recently, I think it was WWFA, a local Austin TV station did some investigating. Yeah, not the police, the TV station did some investigating and found Sandra Bland had recorded the traffic stop herself. So they got Sandra Bland's own recording of the traffic stop. So I'm going to go back and tell you, for those of you who aren't familiar, who Sandra Bland is. So Sandra Bland, July 13th, 2015, was driving through Texas. I believe she was relocating for a job, and the police pulled her over. So in the police stop, you can see it from the dash cam. She's like smoking a cigarette or whatever, and then the police takes her out of the car. There's like some kind of a scuffle. She ends up getting apprehended, taken in by the police. Now, I think this was like on a failure to signal or something. So already it's elevated to a level that it shouldn't have been. So they took her in. She's there overnight, and then turns up dead in the morning by asphyxiation. So they're saying that she hung herself or hanged herself while she was in prison with, I believe it was some kind of a plastic bag. The police officer was tried and was, found not guilty. And they ruled her death actually a suicide. But what he was tried in, I think, was just having something to do with it or just not behaving properly as a police officer. I don't remember what his charges were, but...
Yeah, that's a rough one, because when you watch the tape, she's trying to get from the officer why he's taking such extreme
measures for a traffic stop,
for failing to signal.
Yeah, he pulls out a taser, points it at her.
Pulls out a taser, and she's like, "You're trying to tase me?" And he's like, "Get out of there!"
I'm gonna light you up. I'm gonna light you up. He says, mm-hmm. "It's really intense." I definitely, we will post it, but we have to make sure that we put a trigger warning for that. I do have, like, post-trauma with police, so those things tend to, like, elevate my heart rate, and when I'm around police in real life, I get, like, really anxious, which I guess makes me just look like I'm suspicious also. Double-edged sword there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, but it was really terrifying. Just the video, the whole process. Like, this guy completely escalates, goes what seems to be, like, off of his rocker. He's totally acting way outside of what, like, reasonable force and reasonable just policing looks like.
It's crazy, because we have a lot of police officers that are here to serve, that are black, and they're recognized, and they are great. But then you have ones that abuse the system. The problem is, we always figured that the ones that are doing good always outweighed the bad. But now we're realizing through social media, there are a lot of bad police officers doing a lot of bad things.
Well, I think the problem with that theory of the good police officer and the bad police officer is that the thing that allows the bad police officer to thrive is a whole bunch of people being complicit with the system, and also being protected by a system in which the police officers protect each other. They have a new thing that they're trying to get police officers to be drug tested now in the States, and they're saying that it's against their rights. But how many jobs do you get? You get drug tested for a lot of jobs, and not for nothing. I would like to know that my neighborhood police officer is not on cocaine.
I feel like I feel like a police officer should not be on any of the drugs that he's arresting
that are in
you
the evidence room
He's arresting you for.
You cannot use anything out of the evidence room, essentially.
It doesn't make any sense. Now, right. I don't know if Canadian police officers go through a stringent test. I know the United States police officers, once they go through their initial testing, they don't really test them again. They, in some states.
Right.
In some states, yeah. But in other states, nah. They're good, right? You're a police officer, you made it past all that
rigorous training. I think most places they don't get tested.
Well, yeah. So in the end, when you look at it, being a police officer and doing the right thing is not status quo. It is not the thing that's normal nowadays. We're watching it on our social media. We're watching it all over the world. And we're realizing that police officers tend to abuse the system and protect each other while doing the abuse.
Actually, Stevie Wonder is my most favorite artist of all time.
Mm-hmm. So on our calendar for this week, on my personal calendar this week, there is the tribute to James Brown and Stevie Wonder. This is happening on May 11th. That is Saturday, May 11th at 8 o'clock.
That's at the station.
At the station. Mm-hmm. It's at the station just off of Jasper Ave.
Formerly Needle.
formerly known as The Needle, but now currently known as The Station.
Yeah.
I truly will be there doing a couple songs. I'll be doing about 4 or 5 songs while I'm there.
What songs?
We're still deciding.
Okay.
We're still deciding, but we're definitely doing.
Is there any one song that you're like, for sure, this song?
We're going to do Signed, Sealed, Delivered.
Okay.
And we're going to do Superstition.
Mm-hmm. That's good so far.
We are in talks of whether they want Overjoyed. I was trying to get them to do Don't You Worry About a Thing.
That is a great. Could you have the range to do that? You could do those rhymes?
Yes.
Wow. You have to do that.
We'll see. And then on the James Brown side, they are definitely want me to do I Feel Good. So my homeboy David Grange will be there. O'Shane Samuels will be there. Barry Simpson will be there. We'll all be there.
I'll be there.
Homage to.
I'll be there live. So if you're tuned into Multiverse Black, we'll be on there.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be out there Saturday, 8 p.m.
Javard wants Ribbon in the Sky. He says it's a classic.
I was thinking that too. It is a classic, but every Stevie Wonder song is a classic.
They all are.
As a body of work. There's actually a party in New York that I've always wanted to go to called Wonderlust. And they just play Stevie Wonder all night, like remixing it and with like trip hop beats on it. And it's like, it happens in May around his birthday. I think his birthday's coming up.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It happens May around his birthday. And 1 year he was there. He actually showed up to it. So I definitely like really badly want to go to that party one day.
The other thing we have going on May 18th, I will be emceeing the Come Worship the King.
This is the Soca Fet. This is the Gospel Soca Fet.
It's a reggae.
The Gospel Fet.
It's a reggae. It's
a bashment?
It's a gospel bashment.
Okay.
Right?
It's a gospel bashment. Come Worship the King.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be amazing. Last year they handed out rags to everybody, white rags, so they could take something and wave.
That's so good, though.
And everybody's like jumping and blah, blah, blah. So the artists that came last time were from Jamaica this time as well. I believe they are from Jamaica.
I'm working on my hits, like, get something and wave, come up and get saved.
Mm-hmm, yep. Yep.
Can you feel
it? Keep it up.
Okay.
Those of you who are coming, be prepared. Be prepared for a wild, lovely time.
It's fun.
My birthday's coming up May 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
That's when last year I jumped out of a plane and skydived.
A perfectly good plane,
down. It was an epic thing. You can actually see that jump on Big Eye Productions on YouTube.
Okay.
So you can actually see the jump.
You should actually share that on ours.
I think I will.
Yeah.
I just thought of it now.
I'm just going to go over there and do that.
A lot of people.
Okay.
But I could put it on ours, and that would make it even funner. It would be great.
This Sunday and every Sunday for the next 4 Sundays, we have Sun Salutation Yoga here at Aphrodisiac Natural Shop. The studio that we use for the yoga is literally right behind me. The sun comes in through these windows over here that you can't see on Instagram. And we have a really phenomenal, gentle teacher that takes us through all the yoga. It's at 10 a.m. It's $12. You can rent a mat for $3. I think that's about it. It's for 1 hour. We only have 15 spots, 1-5 spots. So.
And my girls, they...
They have a lot of hair.
They get a lot of hair. I'm not sure what side of the family I'm going to say that's from.
It's from the black side. Both sides.
Yeah, but just so we're clear, both sides of the family are black. There's no black side of the family.
Yes, it's both sides.
Yes, but it's not the black side. There's no black side.
There's a black side. They're both black.
It's not a side. It's not a side. The whole thing is black. So my wife has roots in Jamaica, born in Canada. I have roots in Trinidad. So they do have very, very long hair, a lot of hair. It's not long, but it's just a lot of hair. So with them and their beautiful hair, She has a topic for hair?
She just did, but I'm sure it's going to fall in line with yours.
Well, with their hair, they have nighttime issues where their hair doesn't look as great in the morning. So their hair is all over the place in the morning, and we want a slick, fresh do for the morning. What do you recommend?
Well, I think currently when I see your girl's hair, that you kind of scoop it into a bubble. So sometimes it's in like puffs. I see your girl's hair is in a lot of puffs.
Puffs, twists, all types of stuff.
Okay, so I mean, there's three things that you can do. So the first thing that you can do is do some protective styling. And when I say protective styling, I never ever mean added hair. Like zero times do I ever mean added hair. So you can do some protective styling, so two-strand twists, braids. This also will help with Jasmine's question of when it's winter and your hair is extra dry because of the weather. So those – sorry, just so distracting.
Sorry, Tania is asking the same question. For moving from winter into summer – what are the hair care routines?
Okay. So just helping those protective styles, something with the ends tucked in, braid, cornrow, two-strand twist, or combination of the bunch into a style that will stay. Like, the style should stay for a week or two. Like, you should be able to style them so that you're literally just untying their little head rags or do-rags in the morning. Mm-hmm. If they have a tendency to, like, sleep in a way where the do-rag comes off, do-rags usually stay pretty still. But if they have a tendency to sleep where the do-rag comes off, I would say get a silk or satin pillowcase so that the pillowcase itself is not drying out hair. And your cotton pillowcase can dry out your hair really at any season. So a silk or satin pillowcase is going to be great for preserving styles when your bonnet or what have you falls off your head. It's also going to be great for maintaining the moisture in your hair.
I have an issue with that, though. I have a problem with silk and satin. I feel like my head slides off of the pillowcase. And then do-rags seem to contain heat, the heat that comes off my head at nighttime. Are there any other solutions for a dude like me? Like a dude?
I don't know. I feel like you're like, I can't cover my head because I'm going to get hot. But then my head's really slippery. I don't really know what to say about that. Like, maybe put a cotton pillow underneath your silk pillow. And so that it's like a little bit more mounted. Maybe use like a down alternative type of a pillowcase so that your head sinks into the pillow. I don't really know how to solve that problem. But I bet that you can solve it.
That's actually not too bad.
Dome out on the top.
That's not too bad.
Okay.
Yeah, just changing the pillow itself.
Yeah, change the pillow to something that your head like sinks into.
Foam, memory foam or something.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So, I would have to say that with your kids. Dryness, like protective styling, covering your head, using a silk or satin pillowcase. I have to do a plug here. So Aphrodisiac has a leave-in conditioner that's available at aphrodisiacnaturals.com and is also available in store. So you can actually just Google our location. And that's a daily leave-in that has things like honeyquat and silk in it. And those, it pretty much helps to daily moisturize, fine moisturizing in your hair. And okay, what are you listening to, Nigel? What's up in your ears? What's blasting in your car when you pull up?
Blasting in my car. Group called The Internet is all up in my ears right now.
Really? The Internet? I've heard of this group.
Yes, they are a indie type group, fantastic.
Sounds like hipsters. It sounds like they gentrified a whole neighborhood.
Except they're all black. Well, most of them are black.
That's good.
So it's pretty good. They're really good. Also, because of the May 11th, I have lot of Stevie in my ears.
Yay! I love Stevie. He's my number one favorite artist of all time. If I could have one person's, like, forever, like, just listen to one person's catalog, I think it would be Stevie Wonder.
That's fantastic.
When I went to Motown, there's, like, a little candy bar machine there. Mm-hmm. And Stevie Wonder's favorite candy bar, I think it was Milky Way. I think I remember that. That's what it was. And he was blind, so he's still blind also. They would put change on top of the candy machine in the same spot every time, so he would know where to come to get it, and then he knew where to put it in to, like, get his candy bar. So now when you do the...
They literally would just keep change there? Nobody would take that change?
No, they put it there for him. Okay. It was always when he... Because they all kind of went to the school, like, three doors down. Mm-hmm. You know, Berry Gordy just, like, turned a house into a studio that was, like, three blocks from a school and invited all the kids to come sing and clap. That's what he did.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. You've never...
I've never watched the movie or read the...
I've never watched any of the movies. Mm-hmm. I just did the tour in Detroit. You would love it.
I would love it.
Yeah, you can actually, it feels like magic in there.
Wow.
In the studio. Like, it's like vibrations you can feel, and this Motown sound, they show you how they got that. There's like hole, like there'll be a studio in the basement, and there's a hole from the basement to the upstairs floor. And then kids would be on the upstairs floor singing and doo-wopping and clapping and tambourining into the hole. And then they're recording it in the studio. So that's how they got that Motown sound that sounds like extra layered at a time where they didn't have the capacity to layer like that. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was really fantastic. Yeah. And like he had a loan from his dad for that one location. And now the whole block is called Barry Gordy Boulevard. Some of the houses they've sold. But he had that one spot. He paid that back. And then he next door was like artist development. And then next door, next door, next door. So he had a whole bunch of like houses on the same block. I'm sure he did mad, like terrible stuff too.
Yeah.
I don't want to celebrate anybody too much.
Probably.
I'm like, oh, somebody will be on like, this nigga was terrible.
Yeah, he beat half the
next kid. Week we'll find out. Sure. He just like inappropriately touched everybody.
But do we have any books we have on the docket?
Oh yeah. So you didn't ask me what's in my ear. So
what's in your ear? Sorry.
Sid is in my ear.
Who's Sid?
Sid is a singer. And she's very soulful. I don't really know much about her background. I think I'm almost positive that she's a lesbian, so she's a girl singing about girls.
Does she identify as a her?
I don't know.
Mm. Yeah. Proper pronouns, people.
It's true.
This person.
They. So Sid. So they are a person.
This who person makes, is.
Yeah, soulful music.
Soulful music about girls.
About girls.
I make soulful music about my two girls. That's about it.
Hey, Yard Flex, Raleigh, North Carolina, what's up? So Sid's in my ears, mm-hmm. and I'm reading, I guess I'm going to read David and Goliath again.
I think the tipping point, both books are from Malcolm Gladwell.
He's Jamaican, Canadian, and he teaches, I think he writes for York newspaper, York something.
So... yeah. So Malcolm has a lot of books to help us move forward in life.
You know, when we're talking about them, they do seem like they're like motivational books, but they're not. They're like social science books.
They're motivational. It was good. It was very natural. Very natural.
Yeah.
Everybody's still up on the thing? I got one person watching.
One person?
Hey, one person.
Two people over here on InstaGGG, but there's been a lot of people in and out throughout the night.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it for us for this episode of the Black Multiverse Theory podcast. You can find us on all your favorite podcasts, Stitcher, Breaker, Spotify, Anchor, of course. So you can like us, add us. Add us on Instagram if you enjoyed this. You're going to look up Multiverse Black, at Multiverse Black. And you'll be able to see the podcast from there. And also on YouTube, we'll be on YouTube as well. So the Black Multiverse Theory podcast, like us, subscribe.
Yeah, like us, subscribe.
Comment, hang out with us.
When Google, we're over Apple, here. We're all over the place.
So, all the things.
So come back on, share it. Share yeah. as well.
Like, share, click around some ads.
Our goal is to reach 2,000 subscribers. So let's see what we can do.
Okay.
All right, everyone. Happy trails and good night. And
we'll see you next week. Do you have a word this week?
This week I do have a word.
Okay. Let's
you know, the thing about being Black is, even in the Black Multiverse Theory, being in this multiverse that we live in, things seem to be very hard and very difficult to get ahead. But we have to understand, if we persevere, we keep straight, we keep doing what we have to do, we never lose sight of the end goal.
And we help each other.
Mm-hmm.
We could do this.
We can do this. Yeah. You got it. Totally. You got this. Well, you got it in the bag. You know what you have to do. You know who you are. You know your strengths. And you know that you're going to succeed.
100%. There's no other way.
And that's it. And thank you for tuning to the Black Multiverse Theory podcast.
And good night.